Magic Detective, starring the world's greatest magician,
Jack Mangan.
He tells you the inside story of
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
And right after the story,
Jack Mangan
will explain tricks of magic that you yourself can perform, revealing the guarded secrets of the world's greatest
podcast. Crud. A and WTDP 150. I AYH JM AKA ETSPQR. DPITMFW TNT TMNT TD0013 UTFO BJ and the Bear. CCCP FU ATT ampersand T H1N1 AB backwards BA UHF NIN 206-350 Tomy 206-350-8664 SphericalJack M@gmail.com Run DMC TRS80 POS HE Double Hockey Sticks THX1138.
You may not be aware, but every year, thousands upon thousands of Martian children go without podcasts.
Mars needs podcasts.
So, this holiday season, no matter when in the year you happen to hear this promo, why don't you think about the Martians?
Mars needs podcasts.
Think about them by going to theweirdshow.com and subscribing.
Mars needs podcasts.
For your subscription, you'll receive a weekly,
roughly one hour podcast.
All about Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, odd science,
credible science,
Martians.
Mars needs podcasts.
And for every subscription you make between now and some arbitrarily far future date, I'll make sure that a Martian also gets a subscription for free.
Mars needs podcasts.
That's right. As soon as we've been able to establish communication with the Martians, and as soon as they are able to actually subscribe to my show, I'll make sure to let them subscribe for free.
The Weird Show.
The Weird Show. The Weird Show.
Hey, it's Alfie and Boulder. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan's a motherfucking way. I love you so much, Jack. It hurts how much I love you. You have no idea how much I love you.
What?
Why, sure. Climb into my spoon.
Yes, we're starting them early in this episode. Yes, you can never predict Deadpan. You don't know Deadpan. You don't know. First comment, John Bowes says, 1. The band shares the first name of one of the Addams family. 2. The band's name is partly French ellipsis, sort of. 3. He's bald. The Energizer Bunny says, Morning, Pan. Apparently I'm going to an Irish pub for lunch. Then I guess it's a hockey game tonight. I think I need to get back to work just so I have some time to rest and recover from my cold. Speaking of which, I'll be working tomorrow so I can do show notes again. I usually do them while sitting at my computer, avoiding little numbers on a spreadsheet. Next, Return to Top. No, wait. Well, while we're there, the first of the week was CJ. Said, Happy New Year. Alright, we'll do a few more random. Jeremy from Seattle says, Here's a list of the emoticons. http://www.x-design.com/nomicon/preview.html Just a Joe says, Yes, however, each car comes with a fabulous blonde and a case of scotch, courtesy of the tourism board. Ellipsis, or so goes the rumor I just made up. Ed from Texas says, You will laugh. Ugh, another link. http://thereifixedit.com/2009/12/28/viva-la-music-revolution CJ again says, Hi, ho, hi, ellipsis, off to work goes I. Have a great Christmas Eve, everyone. Sending love, hugs, and the panties icon filled with mush, the mush icon, your way. I love Pan, the Pan icon. And finally, Miss Othmeyer, Charlie Brown's teacher, says,
Just a sec here. I'm moving this chair. Wow. Okay, so this is going to be like the holiday theme one where there's going to be sound like a Christmas tree crashing down and all sorts of glass balls, or the Christmas balls breaking and shattering, and maybe some jingle bells clattering to a jingly jangly nasty broken sounding thing.
Oh no, we like some all broken.
Well, I'll just put them back in order.
I don't know which ones are which.
I know. I'll ask the deadpan. And welcome back to another Broken Lyrics Challenge. This is another impersonal episode. I have no idea who actually won. I'm recording them in batch fashion. But here goes. Last week, the first lyric was Miles End by Gomez from the In Our Gun CD. And lyric number two was Let Me In by De La Soul from the De La Soul Is Dead CD. And the third lyric was from Heaven Must Be Boring by George Robb off the Coelacanth CD. And on to the lyrics for this week. We have, for the first lyric, Lad's gal is all he has, gal's gladness hangs upon the love of lad. Second lyric is, a few witches burning, gets a little toasty, I've got to find, why you always go when the wind blows. And the third lyric is, foals in winter coats, white girls of the north. Now I know at least one of those should be fairly easy, just to Joe, I almost need to hand you the point right now. But we'll see if you can answer first. Otherwise, everybody go to the comments page for this week's episode and give your answer guesses. I'll see you on the boards. Well, did you figure them all out? Go to the comments page for this episode and show off. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. Bed music for this segment is Mysterious Mirror by Porchcat, found at ccmixter.org. And now back to your regularly scheduled deadpan.
Hey, what's up? This is John Butchergrass from ESPN Sports Center. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Hello, Deadpan. Just a Joe here. Cleaning out my desk drawers, and I ran across ticket stubs and notes from the 1998 Sundance Film Festival, and I thought I'd share those with you. Let's see, here's one from a movie called Snitch, which was later released as Monument Avenue and Noose in Australia. Starred Dennis Leary, featured Martin Sheen and Famke Janssen and Billy Crudup and Colm Meaney. And let's see, according to my note here, very good, surprisingly good performance by Dennis Leary, good script. Film called Buffalo 66, which was written, directed, and starred by the ubiquitous character actor Vincent Gallo. Vincent Gallo and Christina Ricci, Angelica Houston, Mickey Rourke, Roseanne Arquette, Jan Michael Vincent. According to my notes, good film, dysfunctional but comedic. In parentheses, it says dark relationships. Good story.
Hey, all right, it's time again for Duel of the Fates. Second round here, we have Bugs Bunny versus Buzz Lightyear. Bugs Bunny and Buzz Lightyear, it's like this battle should be biking backwards in the Berenstain Bears B book. Looks to be another long one. First category. More iconic. Not moronic Ike, like Tina Turner's ex. I think Buzz Lightyear is already more iconic for younger generations, i.e. the future, and will continue to be kid-friendly for as long as Pixar is making those movies. Still, without the preceding half-century of Bugs Bunny leading the Warner Brothers cartoons, the state of animation that led to Toy Story would have been as different as Daffy and Donald, or as different as Duckman and Howard the. The future and past both weigh in heavily for an icon tie.
You're despicable.
Fight. Most of Bugs Bunny's adversaries seem to be short and squat, like Buzz, with the exception of Gossamer, you know, the big, orange, fuzzy Lovecraftian horror. Although, like his colleague, the Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny's victories often involve dropping enemies from great heights. Buzz L.Y., however, has proven pretty adept at falling with style, so he'd avoid having to get up from his impact and walking like an accordion. He does have a laser, but Bugs would probably trick him out of using it. And it's not really a laser anyway.
It's a little light bulb that blinks.
Their fight is a draw, which is appropriate for animated characters.
Love prowess. I doubt if the Buzz Lightyear doll is anatomically correct, and if he is, it's plastic. And it comes with retractable wings. Bugs Bunny, on the other hand, is a rabbit. We have a rabbit and a toy. Go into the search keywords rabbit toy at Google while you're listening to this. How many of your top search results are for vibrators? Talk about a space jam. But while Bugs Bunny may hump like a rabbit, he's also a guy. So a typical guy gets lost while digging around, making wrong turns at Albuquerque. And what's the main thing those vibrators do to please their users? They buzz. I'll take Buzz Lightyear's bulbous dome for my love prowess, please.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No. No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
Rotating category. And okay, to settle this rotating category, we'll do a lightning round duel between Bugs's franchises supporting cast. Let me start that over. Okay, to settle this rotating category, we'll do a lightning round duel between Buzz's and Bugs's franchises supporting cast colleagues. Take a seat, Buzz Lightyear. Your replacement is Mr. Potato Head. Bugs Bunny's stand-in will be Pepe Le Pew. Between Mr. Potato Head and Pepe Le Pew, who's more iconic? For most of us, Pepe Le Pew was our first introduction to French culture. But Mr. Potato Head was our first exposure to men in lipstick. It follows that Mr. Potato Head can single-handedly take credit for 1980s white pop music. He's more iconic and up 1-0. Who'd win in a fight? Skunks have the ultimate stink weapon, and it's hilarious to watch Mr. Potato Head go flying when he gets hit. Pep rallies to tie. Who has more love prowess?
Don't discount Mr. Potato Head's ability to put on his bedroom eyes, but he doesn't have an attachment for Angelina Jolie's lips. He's missing some other attachments, too. Pepe Le Pew, on the other hand, is sexier than Prince Angelina Jolie.
Although I guess if he and Pepe got together to smoke weed, they could make French fries. The intangibles. We've seen a Darth Tater toy, but never a Darth Le Pew. Don Rickles' Mr. Potato Head voice wins the mini intangibles and the rotating category mini duel on behalf of Buzz Lightyear. Pepe Le Pew loses. And on to the real intangibles. Unlike the Rorschach versus Ming duel, this one will have a winner. No Bugs Lightyear in the finals. Buzz has already clinched this duel with 2 wins and 2 ties. No, not yet. So we'll let the long-eared varmint have this intangibles category as a consolation. We'll even give him a pencil with a big eraser so he can turn Buzz Lightyear into a purple flower. Go ahead, it's over now. So Buzz is Lightyear's ahead of the gray hair and wins the duel.
When the gray hair is dead, Magua will eat his heart.
Whoa there. Maybe someday they can team up against Marvin the Martian, but for now, Buzz will advance alone to the finals to face off against the two-headed Ming Rorschach Beast. Don't ask, it's too weird to explain.
We are Dead Pan.
A film called Slam, which was described as a film about a young African-American whose talent for poetry is hampered by his social background. According to my notes, it was gritty with good performances. The Spanish Prisoner, which starred Steve Martin. My note says it was very good and Alfred Hitchcock-like. I seem to recall really liking that one, too. One called Relax, It's Just Sex, which was a, quote, a mixed group of individuals struggling to accept each other's lifestyles. It had Lori Petty and Jennifer Tilly in it. And as I recall, it was had uncomfortable gay sex scenes that couldn't make up for its lack of being a good film. Let's see, High Art, which featured Ally Sheedy, and according to my notes, a lesbian romance film needed editing, but good performances. Wicked, a film called Wicked, which was a very good but highly disturbing movie that starts out as a murder mystery and turns into a daughter obsessed with her father becomes determined to take her mother's place type dark film. Did I mention it was dark? Julia Stiles turned in a fabulously creepy performance as the obsessed underage daughter, but I can still recall walking out of that film and really seriously needing a drink. And finally, I saw Bill Plimpton's animated cartoon, I Married a Crazy Person. Plimpton's illustrations and cartoons have been featured in magazines like Vogue, Rolling Stone, Playboy, National Lampoon, and his style is easily recognizable even if you never knew his name. You'd recognize his artwork. And I recall that film as being really weird and a whole lot of fun, although I know the guy next to me in the theater fell asleep, so take that for what it's worth. And that would be my review of the 1998 Sundance Film Festival.
Who the one who entertain and fume with? Who you low-breed humans can't be in the same room with. Brief and sweet, wrap it up, thief excrete. Every rap maggot underneath Rick's feet. Evicted, why you trying to find hits to liquid? Even your kids tell you you ain't got shit to slick, Rick. Though you pretend to be glory, I'm number one. That's the end of the story. Slick Rick, I own America.
I will have both of you row off to the hell where people are skinned alive. It's that symbol, understand?
Well, sure, it was a war. And anybody that showed up was going to join Lem Lee in the hell of being cut to pieces.
What does that say?
It's you some meat, yo. Hell of boiling oil.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I am. Just keep out.
Jesus Christ, where are we?
Hell of the upside-down sinners! And your soul feeds with hits of the hell of the horny dragon!
The hell of boiling oil, the hell of the vast cold, and what the hell is Gracie Law doing here?
Chinese have a lot of help.
Hi, man. What are you doing?
I'm drinking wine and eating cheese and catching some...
Jack Mangan's deadpan.
You know.
What's happened?
Well, the tank's broken and they're trying to fix it.
Then why the hell aren't you up there helping them?
Oh, man. I only ride in them. I don't know what makes them work.
Can you believe we're up to deadpan number 150 already? Lordy. All right, here's the pledge drive. I don't need your pledge, actually. I just would like you to send some content, send some stories, send some stuff. We're actually set up for the final Duel of the Fates, the end. So even if you don't have anything witty or hilarious to say about a battle of Buzz Lightyear versus a Ming Rorschach Siamese twin, you're still encouraged to go ahead and send in some recorded content just cheering on one of them. Even if it's just 3 seconds saying, go, you know, whoever you want to win. Exciting, huh? The voicemail line is 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. You're also welcome to send in contents of or terrible song lyrics or your terrible teenage poetry, if you've got it. You can also record stuff and email it to me. My email address is sphericaljackm@gmail.com. All right, happy new year, motherfuckers. And yes, 2009 gets a big middle finger from me as well, but I don't know. I guess that's getting a bit redundant. But hey, happy 2010, the year we make contact. Speaking of contact, we have another confirmed for the Deadpan M meetup. The weekend of March 13th. So this thing is on, folks. Ed from Texas and the Energizer Bunny will be here in Phoenix. And it'll be cold everywhere else. So come on down for some fun. Have some fun stuff lined up. There'll be some more information about that and upcoming Deadpans. And you're also welcome to contact me if you have any questions at all about the Deadpan M meetup in March 2010. Okay, that's really annoying. Going to play now yet another song that was performed live at PodCamp AZ 2009. It's a lo-fi, of course, but longtime Deadpan listeners may be familiar with the original lo-fi recording, which is a bit longer and a bit different. But I'm pretty fond of both versions. I'm pretty pleased with the way this one came out. Again, Lee, my bass player, is a very talented guy and has added a lot to. All right, you know, I'm going to stop talking about it and just let you listen. I'm not coming back after the music. Good night, colon mush colon.
This one's called All Beautiful Things. It's a little long, but there you go. Gates of hell, and all I want is to return to myself. Star for warmth, this place so unkind, freezing to death inside the devil's mind. Thank you. Drum solo's next.